We have another special class for you today. I'm coming out of chapter 3, Old Testament instances of rebellion. And we're going to be dealing with the rebellion of Ham today. We're going to find out how Noah identified Ham as a rebellious son. You know, that's not the easiest thing to deal with rebellion, but especially when it comes within the household. When your children become rebellious, it's become a personal issue to you. And I never look at that facet before, how it may have affected Noah to have to deal with his son in a certain way. But in Genesis 9 and 20, we're going to begin reading right out the book, beginning with verse 20. He said, Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers without. And Shem and Japhet took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not. Everybody say saw not. They wouldn't look upon their father. And saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed. Now, these words have to be inspired by God, because no man wants to curse his own son. But God had to set a divine order into the earth realm, and Ham exposed himself as being a rebellious son. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be Jehovah, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. God enlarged Japhet, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. So we find out that Ham was going to be a servant to both of his brothers, his family, the children. The lineage was going to go into slavery until the family of Shem and the family of Japhet. Now, here's a good point Brother Nee brought out in the book. And it may not look like it's always that intention, but God uses everything for good. Even though it was an evil thing, and even though God didn't promote this with Ham, God didn't allow Ham to sin against his father, rebel against his father, just to show this lesson. But even in Ham's state of rebellion, God used it to demonstrate to us as an example what happened when your heart is not totally submitted to authority. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Adam fell. In the vineyard, Noah also was defeated. Now, what the similarity between Adam and Noah? Well, Adam dealt with God's first creation. And Adam fell because he disobeyed God by permitting himself to do what God told him not to do. And that was to eat off the tree of good and evil, which would cause him to violate God's divine principle. He violated the principle of obedience. And Noah, being of what I call the second creation, after Adam, the world became wicked, and God told Noah to build an ark, and he and his family were 8 of them in total. He and his family were the only ones saved alive. And God had Noah to bring all the beasts upon the boat and all everything he created. You know the story, a pair of everything, so he can start a new creation upon the face of the earth. And so Noah was like a second Adam in the natural. Jesus was the, Jesus was the second Adam in the spirit. Noah was the second Adam in the flesh. And God began to replenish the earth. But along the line somewhere, during the course of time, Noah planted a vineyard. And that's where the story takes off. And he began to drink of his vineyard, the wine of his vineyard. And the Bible says he became drunk. Drunkenness brings a spirit upon you. You know, sometimes Christian argue whether it's wrong to drink alcohol, and they'll try to find scriptures to defend. You know, they want to take a little sip every now and then. You know, one man said, one of my teachers in the past, he said, you know, I can drink all I want to drink. But he said, the thing is, I don't want to. See, after you become born again, and truly born again, certain things you don't want to do anymore because it hinders your witness. It hinders your walk with God. And we're the light of the world, Jesus said. And we should demonstrate that light in walking in godliness. Now, so Noah was the second Adam in the flesh. And so what God did was God saved his family. And then that brings us to this point right here. But Noah had to curse his youngest son, Ham. And I know it's not the easiest thing to do. But when it comes to spiritual things, you have to obey God in everything. In God's plan, Noah was the head of the family, and God put the whole family under Noah's authority. He also set Noah at the head of the world at that time. So Noah was a representative of authority that God had set up with this second creation. And well, I have to say the second creation because he didn't create everything anew this time, but he gave man a second chance to walk in this creation. All right? Noah became drunk and uncovered himself in his tent. Well, let's stop right there, pause that. Noah became drunk and he uncovered himself in his tent. Well, in his drunken state, sometime in a drunken state, you don't know what you're really doing. Your senses become foggy and unable to operate in a sound manner. And so therefore, your consciousness become dull of things around you and even become dull to the things of God. So when Noah became drunk, he uncovered himself in his tent. Well, he found himself naked in his tent. I don't know the whole story. The Bible don't tell the whole story. But nevertheless, he became naked. I'm just going over the story so we can pull some points out of here. Noah, his youngest son, Ham, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. Well, I began to think about that. Seeing your father's nakedness and what inspired Ham to tell his brothers about his father's nakedness and not cover his father's nakedness up. And I got to thinking along that line, and I asked myself this question, what would I do or what would I have done if I would have had the same approach to my father or as Noah and his son Ham encountered this experience? what would I have done in this same scenario? And I'm going to push the question a little bit further. What would you have done? You know, and it depends upon the character of your heart at that time. So what do you think caused Ham to go and tell his brothers about his father's nakedness? You know, I came up with at least one or two things. The Bible said Noah was a righteous man. Yeah, righteous people make mistakes. We're not going to fault Noah for getting drunk. But righteous people make mistakes. But at the same time, God looked at Noah still as his authority. And it wasn't Ham's job, listen to me close, class, to correct or judge his father's nakedness. You see, authority always judged from above, not below. God judges authority, and for Ham to be able to make a judgment against his father was totally out of God's divine order when it comes to authority. Now, Ham, I said, it could have been one or two things. Noah was a righteous man, and I'm sure Noah had some orders or some rules that his children were to follow. And I always say this, rules always reveal rebellion. And sometimes, and just sometimes, you know, as being a child myself growing up, I've had experience with my own father, my parents, certain things I wanted to do. It went against some of their belief system. And it went against some of their regulation to rule the home. It went against their stature of what children should be like in their upbringing. And sometimes, you know, you want to follow the crowd, follow the game. And sometimes you want to do certain things. And they say, no. You go to mother. And mother say, go ask your daddy. And your daddy say, what your mama say? But back in the old days, children try to use some psychology today. Yeah, but these young parents today don't even know they're being psyched by these children. But they play up on the authority role. But anyway, and sometimes Noah probably had been persistent in correcting Ham. You see? And, you know, some children just different. Some take a little correction, and some you got to correct over and over again because they test your authority. And I don't know the total personality of Ham, but it leads me to believe that he tested Noah's authority when it came to some matters in the home. And so when Noah became drunk, it made him judge Noah in another aspect, saying, look, he always trying to, this is righteous Noah. And now look, he don't want me to drink, but look, now he's drunk. And not only drunk, but he's naked. Now, we're going to get to that point. Now, I kind of try to use some spiritual imagination in trying to decipher the insight, the picture that being portrayed here, because Bible don't tell you everything. It don't tell you the thoughts of Noah. It don't tell you the thoughts of Ham. It don't tell you how Ham was raised and how Noah raised Ham. But all I know, Noah was a righteous man. And righteous man, righteousness means he stood for what was right. Now, as we go on down the story, as Ham saw his father's nakedness, I can imagine he went and told his brothers in a jousting manner, meaning that criticizing his father. The Bible said, the lesson said, Noah not only rebelled, but he committed the sin of reviling, speaking evil, and criticizing his authority. We should never criticize our authority. And because when you criticize your authority, you're almost criticizing God who set the authority. And so criticizing authority is absolutely wrong. And so now Ham has two things he's dealing with, rebellion and then the sin of reviling. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the lesson. But now he told his two brothers without. I hope I'm trying to paint a picture here. He told his two brothers without. You see, I grew up in a large family. My father and mother had 11 children, and I'm the last of the siblings, number 11. And being number 11, excuse me, Claire, and being number 11, I saw a lot of correction go on in the house. And, you know, the older brothers, I sort of missed some of the older ones because they got out of the house before I even came to an age of understanding. You know, you do the math, you see. Being number 11, and number 11, I mean, you were the bottom of the totem pole, and so a lot of other ones came up before you. And so, so I had a chance to see a lot of them being corrected. And you know, you learn from watching sometimes. You learn what not to do, and you learn what you can get away with. You see it? And being the last one, you know, I saw my daddy make correction, and I saw how my sister and brother responded. Some of them respond right, some of them respond wrong. But at the same time, my daddy was a strict father. Well, we don't have that kind of parenting too much no more today. He stuck to the law. He stuck to his word. He said, I said no, and I mean no, and don't you ask me again. I'm trying to show you a parallel of, you know, Noah's righteousness, and along with what I experienced when I was coming up. And so my father did some correcting, mostly by words. My mother did the physical correction, but my daddy only had to speak a word, and that was a reverential fear. All of us fear our father. Not scared of him, but respected his authority because he was a stern and a strict man. And so we respected that. And I kind of envision Noah, you know, being more in that area of strictness because he wanted to go by the law of God and do what was right. And I see him testing that authority. You see him? And so my father, in his strictness, you know, lived that way his whole life. And so that's what we saw of him, and that's what we understand or understood him to be. You know, and so I kind of look at that in the same light as I'm looking at him here. Now let me go on here, and so Noah's conduct was wrong. He should not have been drunk. Well, yeah, that's the truth. You see, so. When we talk about covering nakedness with authority, we're not talking about covering sin as per se. You see, because the Bible says, he that covers sin shall not prosper. So we're not covering it up, but we are not exposing further the nakedness of our leaders or shortcomings of our leader. I remember some years ago, a great man of God fell. In our time. And so our apostle, in his wisdom, came before the congregation. He said, look, I don't want you all to touch this with your mouth. This is God's business. And so the church, because we've been trained apostolically, even through the years, we didn't even touch it. Matter of fact, we can hear the words and churches shoo-shooing about the situation, but we didn't touch it. Therefore, we were covering this great man of God nakedness. Why? We wouldn't even respond to accusation that was made towards him and covering. And that's what it means to cover him. We prayed for him, and we didn't cover him. And so act of covering our authority is constantly praying for them. And even if they err, don't let judgment come from us. See, some things belong to God. Some businesses belong to God. And but we're going to find out Watchman Nee, Brother Nee, made a statement. He said the fall of Noah exposed the rebellion of Ham. You see, and sometimes even though God don't want his authority to fall, even though God don't want his authority to error, even in their error, God find out who's his or not. It exposes the hearts of people. And that would happen to Ham. Noah's fall exposed the heart of Ham. And so how did it expose Ham? It found out that his heart was not altogether with his father. He was not altogether submitted to his father. He said, okay, our righteous father, Shem, our righteous father, Japheth, is laying naked in the tent, always correcting us, always telling us what we're doing wrong, always telling us what we can't do or can do. But look at him. He's naked in the tent. I don't know if you use those specific words, but I do know that those words was reviling, and I do know that his heart was rebellious. It just had to be exposed. Sometimes people's heart are rebellious. It just haven't been exposed yet. Okay? But be it short time or long time, if your heart is rebellious, it will be exposed. And God will give you an opportunity to expose it. So, but our job is to help you develop a heart that's submitted to God and submitted to authority and understand that it's a blessing to be submitted. Are you a flunky? See, sometimes people think you're a flunky because you submit to authority. See, sometimes you're a pet. Yeah, I don't care what you would have called me or what you still call me. I'm a pet. I'm a flunky. I always tell people, if you don't want a pastor to know something, don't do it in front of me, because I'm going to tell them. And that leads me to my next point, right in this lesson here. You see, total commitment, total submission, it doesn't cater to people or anyone. It doesn't put anyone before doing the right thing. It doesn't save face. You see it? Let me get to this point here. Now, you see, he said Ham failed to see the dignity of authority. He failed. He didn't see the dignity of the father authority. Now, let me put a little marker right here. Ham failed to see the dignity of authority. You know, and so back to my father. My father died at the age of 99 years old, and he lived a pretty full life, active all the way till he was 95, still working in the garden, still chopping in the garden, and I think it had a lot to do with his longevity, and he didn't believe in eating just anything. He said, Ronald, you don't eat what tastes good, you eat what's good for you. I didn't quite understand it back in the day, but I do more now. You get a little older, you start watching what you put in your mouth, and you start exercising. Well, I tried to make it to the hospital before he passed, but when I got there, he was already at pass. They say, he's 15 minutes. You've missed about 15 minutes. Say, oh, man. I say, well, thank God he went home to be with the Lord. And I looked upon my father's face, And my brother, one of my older brother, my only living brother right now, he came in about 15, 30 minutes later. And we stayed in the room, we talked a little bit, and we looked at my father. It's kind of jokingly what I said. Him and I look at my father. I say, Ed, I call my brother Ed. I say, Ed, I know Dad is dead, but I'm still scared of him. I mean, I still respected him. You know, and that's what he left with us. He left with us respect and honor, how to be a father. And I had a good father. We had a good father. And we had that fear, a reverential, a respect for our father. And so that stayed on my mind, you know, and I think about, I mean, that facet, being a good father. But I'm trying to get to a point here. He said, the father is God's instituted authority in the home. But the flesh, listen to this, listen. But the flesh delights in seeing a defect in authority. So after throw off all restraint, it's looking for issues. It's looking for shortcoming. If you're looking for shortcoming, you're going to find it, because every person has shortcoming. Every person has a place where they're not perfect, don't walk perfect in the sight of God. So, but those that have wrong hearts, they're looking for defects. They're looking for shortcoming in authority. And so I saw that in Ham. And I believe Ham looked for defects and looked for shortcoming and looking for missteps in his father so as to throw off all restraint. What do you mean? Monkey see, monkey do. I don't have to submit to him because he don't do everything right. No, it doesn't work like that. Authority comes from God. And correction comes from God. And correction never come from below, but always come from above. Remember I said that. When Ham saw his father's improper conduct, he did not have the slightest sense of shame or sorrow, nor did he try to cover his father's nakedness. He didn't even try to. Matter of fact, it wasn't even on his mind to cover his father's nakedness. Why? Because that wasn't a part of his thinking. It wasn't a part of his nature at that time. That wasn't a part of his character. He didn't have that spirit in him to do the right thing. Because he couldn't see that far. He couldn't see submission. He couldn't see past beyond his father's error. He couldn't go there. So he didn't even see it and didn't even want to, didn't even think about it. It's bad when you don't even think about doing the right thing because you're so caught up in the other person's shortcoming and issues that you don't want to see the right thing and you don't want to do the right thing. Oh, but when your heart's been touched and tenderized by God and you've learned to submit to authority, you don't even want to see your authority fall. I don't even want to think about my authority falling. You got to have that mold and of that spiritual mold. You got to walk in that spiritual mold, not even want to even see or think about your spiritual father or your spiritual leader falling in any way, any form. But this reveals that Ham had a rebellious spirit. You see it? He didn't even try to cover it. He went on instead and told his brethren, pointing out to them his father's ugliness, and so added to himself the sin of reviling. And I got a definition of reviling. Reviling is belittle, or insulting an authority, and to speak evil against. That's reviling. He committed sin. He belittled his father, made his father look less than a man. Less than a father. You see, less than an authority. That's belittling. And insulted. He insulted his authority. Insulted his father. My goodness. I would never in my right mind insult my spiritual father. Oh, I'd rather die first before I belittle my authority. Oh, my goodness. I can't even think about it. And here's the definition of rebellion. See, two things. He reviled and he rebelled. Rebel is organized opposition to authority. Organized opposition to authority. In other words, it's a formulation of thoughts and ideas that filled with opposition. You see it? Thoughts and ideas that are filled with opposition, with opposing thoughts towards your authority. That's rebellion. Opposing thoughts, ideas, and then lastly, actions. It always ends up with action. All right? And we're going to get on that. Thoughts, words, and action. Three elements of rebellion. We're going to get, hopefully, to that somewhere down the line. How rebellion formally begins with thoughts. And then it's moving to words. You verbalize it. And then after you verbalize it, it goes into an action where you really perform the act of rebellion. Do, you see, you hear, you say, and you do. Remember I told you that. Now, Shem and Ham entered their tent backwards, thus avoiding seeing their father's nakedness, and uncovered their father, and covered their father. Shem and Ham, they covered their father, which they had laid with garment, the upper garment, where they had laid on their shoulder. Well, what in essence, what they did, they had so much respect, so much honor for their father. My goodness, they looked to Noah with different eyes. Shem and Japheth had different eyes than Ham. They wouldn't even look upon their father naked. They couldn't even think of looking on. Oh, my God. They didn't want to see the shame of their father. So they took garment and they both had it in each of their hands upon their shoulder. And then they wouldn't look back. And they laid it on their father with reverence and respect. And then that's another point I got to cover before my time is up. After they covered Noah's nakedness, something happened. Finally, Noah woke from his wine. You see it? And something peculiar happened. Noah began to prophesy about his son. And I said that he spoke judgment against Ham, but blessing on Shem and Japheth. And I would ask myself, how did he know? Let me read. I don't get ahead of myself. The failure of Noah became a test to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham's son Canaan. It revealed who was obedient and who was rebellious. After Noah awoke from his wine, he prophesied that the descendant of Ham would be cursed and Shem and Ham was to be blessed. No one can serve in a spirit of lawlessness. Now, they say after Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his younger son Ham had done. And I asked myself this question. I did. I said, how did Noah know? Did God supernaturally give him a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? You know, God can't do that because he's omniscient. God omnipresent, he can do that because he know he could have revealed that to Noah. But here's what I come up with, and I believe this is by the Spirit of God. I believe because of the integrity that Shem and Japheth had for their father, the honor in which they gave to their father Noah, when their father awoke, they did the right thing. Dad, we got to tell you what happened during your slumber and your sleeping. While you were sleeping, your son Ham came and told us about your nakedness and that he told us that you were drunk and you uncovered yourself in your tent and we just want to let you know what happened. That's what I believe happened. That's why I made the statement earlier. I would tell people, you know, within the church, and I still do, that if you do something and you don't want a pastor to know, don't tell me or do it in front of me because he's going to know. See, are you a telltale? Yes, you can call it like you want. But I'd rather say that I know a pastor can't see everything unless God show him in his vision or dream. And I know a pastor can't know everything unless God give him word of knowledge supernaturally. But why go through all that when he got people around that God has set around him? Not just me. I mean, I thought myself, that the others in the ministry do the same. Oh, that's some committed men and women in this church that you wouldn't believe. And they're there for the right thing. And because they stand for right and they see something, they're going to let the apostle know. Because he needs to know what's going on around. Your pastor, your spiritual leader needs to know what's going on around him. And know what's going on within the body. And sometimes they don't have time to be praying about everything. If you can see, you see. Just don't be a part of it. You see? Would you call that a telltale? I don't know what you would call it. But all I know, you're doing the right thing. We'll watch them on the wall. And God needs to know that you are committed to the same vision that your spiritual leader is committed to, and you for the right thing. Not to hurt people, not to revile against them, like Ham did, speaking derogatory things. Oh, I knew they were up to wickedness. I'm talking about hearing things, seeing things. I'm not talking about talent, every little thing. Tatter, 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 tatter. No. Things that can turn the vision. Things that can be detrimental to the ministry. Things that cause the vision to go another way or to try to bring people another way. Mature things. You see it? I'm not talking about immaturity as a child. Daddy, so-and-so, your little brother did this, and daddy did this. I'm not talking about that kind of telltale. I'm talking about spiritual mature tattling. You see it? Being eyes. You see it? Don't let nothing get turned another way. You see it? Because I'm not talking about other people's sin. God's going to judge that. God give them space and give them time to repent. You see it? You make mistakes. You don't want everybody to tell your mistakes. But if you see something, but if you need to help a sister or brother some kind of way, you help them. But don't try to expose their sin no kind of way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual. We talk about spiritual maturity in walking in this delegated authority position that your spiritual leader puts you in, that you become his eyes and his ears. Or her eyes and her ears, that they can see and they can walk with a freedom knowing that I got people around me that got my back. I got a remnant that got my back. And so help keep this vision go straight and narrow path that God wanted. Keep this vision on the path that there won't be no deterrence. You see it? And that's why these lusts are so important, to keep everything in alignment, to understand the authority and the structure, and to know your place and your position, and to know that your heart needs to be right, not that of Ham, but that of Shem and Japhet, a heart that's committed to authority and willing to do what's right to cover their leader's back when they need cover. Are you with me, Claire? And I'm not talking about just covering back in sin. We fall away from sin. Everybody, all the immature churches dealing with sin. A mature church don't be dealing with sin all the time. I'm just talking about things that try to turn the vision. Things that try to delay the vision. Things that try to obscure the vision. You see it? So we brought out some good point. And I want to close with this, when my time is up, class, with this statement here, that no one can serve in the spirit of lawlessness. That's the spirit where there is no law. Well, class, you've been in a good class, and I'll talk to you next week. See you later.